That was an awesome song. Man, aren't you glad you're saved today? And it doesn't get old. Doesn't get old being saved. I was saved October 26, 1996, here in Long Beach, California, at Raymond Anaheim. And a guy by the name of Sam, last name Sin. And he's related to Brother Jerry Sin and the rest of the Sin family, right? I always said, Sin led me to the Lord. Amen? And that's true. So it doesn't get old. So make sure that, man, sometimes we forget about serving Jesus in such a way where we can sing a song like that and say, man, I am reminded that I'm saved today. Amen? And I'm looking up here. I'm looking at these young boys here and girls sitting in the front row. I mean, that's a healthy church right there when you see some young boys and girls wanting to love Jesus by sitting in the front row. Right, Jemiah? Right? She's been selling a lot of candies lately. I wish I could just say, hey, give us a testimony. She's been selling boxes after boxes, huh? And the Lord's been good, amen? And man, I wish some of you might be a visitor today. I don't know. Somebody might be a visitor here. And you owe Pastor Myers another visit when he's back. You owe him a visit. So come back and visit and check out our pastor. And man, I tell you what, it's different when the pastor's not here. And you might all agree, it's very different. And I'm so glad that you all are faithful today. Don't stop being faithful, because we're getting in that building soon. And when we get in that building, one of those seats are waiting for you and your family. And Brother Mora, we need like 5 more kids from you to fill a whole row. And some of you, right, get on the ball and getting more to fill up some rows, amen? Because that 1,200-seat auditorium is going to need to be filled. And so keep on being faithful. And today, I want to help you today and help myself as well. And hopefully this message will help you that God has placed on my heart. You know, when we go to Macy's, we go to a certain section in Macy's. And in Macy's, there's a place where you don't want to go to. And a lot of times your wife will probably drag you there, guys. If you're married, a lot of times the single girls might want to go to that area. And that area is the area where they get free samples of lotion, free samples of some type of product, some new product, and free samples of perfume, right? And some guys, if you're going over there, you're getting free samples of cologne, we have problems, all right? So we go over there, and we're in this department area, and they're giving us free samples, and free samples of cologne, free samples of different products. And what happens when we get these products home? We try them on. How many of you ever tried them on before? Come on, you know you have. You tried them on, and then you said, man, I really like this. And then you go and you say, I wonder how much it costs. And then when you check to see how much it costs, and you say, I'm not buying a perfume for $75. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. You say, no, that's too expensive. I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 12. I know we just ate, and maybe we have a little bit of an exercise here. Let's all stand real fast. John chapter 12. I'll give several books of the Bible, and I'll be fast, okay? I promise we'll be done before 8 o'clock. Here we go. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, and where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. Martha, the doer, the server. But Lazarus, who was one of them that sat at the table with him, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with the hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not the ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Again, the day of my bearing has she kept this. Let me show you something real fast while you're standing. This is almost like what you call an alabaster box. And back in the days, they had a box just like this where they kept a very expensive perfume made from India. And I've heard about this story from my pastor up there in Chico, California. He took his wife up to India, And they gave him one, they gave her one small dab, just one small dab of that spikenard, of that ointment, of that perfume. And they put it right behind her neck. They said that once they put it on there, it'll stay on you for months. And you can smell it when you walk into a room. It's that strong of a smell. And this spikenard, this ointment here, this perfume in here, this alabaster box, we're going to talk a little bit about that, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for allowing us to be here. I thank you for Pacific Baptist Church. Thank you for our pastor. And as he's on vacation, I pray you bless him. I pray that you protect their family as they travel. I pray they have some rest and some good times of spending time together with family. We love you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. While you're being seated, let's turn to Luke chapter 10. And if you can, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. The Bible says, and she had a sister called Mary. Who's she? Martha, which also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and said to him, and he said, Lord, doth thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away. And then let's go back to John chapter 11, verse 28. I'll read John chapter 11, verse 28. This is Bible study, amen? And it said here, and when she had said, so said, she went her way and pulled Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, Master has come and called for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not been dead. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. You know, that same very husband, like most of us, we work hard. And there was a husband that was out of town for a while, and he decided on going to Macy's to get his wife a gift. And as he was going to get the gift, he went to that department store area, that certain area that we just talked about, where they gave away free samples. And he went there and he said, hey, to the clerk, he said, how can I get something for my wife that she'll like? And the clerk went to go grab a perfume that's worth $50 and said, hey, what about this? He said, that's too expensive. And then she said, what about this $35 one? He said, that's too expensive. He goes, wait a minute, I think I got some. She grabbed something that was $15. And he said, is there anything cheaper? And she reached down and she grabbed the mirror and handed it to him. You know, got you there, right? Amen. This alabaster box is very expensive. It's not something that Mary, you would say, as she gave this alabaster box we're going to talk about. It's a very expensive alabaster box. It has something very important in there. Something very important. And we're going to talk about that today. You see, Mary was found three times in the gospel. Three times. The first time she was found in the gospel was at Jesus' feet. There in Luke chapter 10, she was at his feet listening to him. While Martha was busy serving, she was at Jesus' feet. And then you see her again in the gospel in John chapter 11, that she came again to Jesus' feet again because her brother Lazarus died again. And then she came back at Jesus' feet to worship him and anointed him with oil. So three times Mary came to Jesus' feet. And you see, tonight I want to help you with something. I want us to see three things tonight. First is the resources of Mary. The second one is the reason for Mary's sacrifice. And the third one is the response of the disciples. Number one, if you have a pen, if you want to write it in your hearts, number one is the resource. You see, she wasn't wealthy. She was like you and I. We just don't have a lot of things to give to Jesus. We just have what we have. You know, as we see Mary, the very first time when she sat at the feet of Jesus, I wonder what she was asking Jesus. I wonder what was being served at that house. You know, when people come over to your house, you try to find the best thing in your cupboard, in your refrigerator. I wonder what was happening. I wonder if they were like you and I when somebody come over. What are we serving tonight to them, right? Are we serving them steak and lobster, or are we serving them whatever we had last night? You know what I mean on that. And you see, she didn't have a lot of wealth. Matter of fact, when they buried Lazarus, Lazarus wasn't buried in a tomb that was spectacular. They didn't have a lot of money. Mary didn't have a lot of resources. This resource that she gave to Jesus, once it's open, it's broken. The moment it's open, here, it is broken. So the moment the ointment or the alabaster box is open, it no longer means anything. It doesn't cost anything anymore. It's over. You can't take it to an auction and say, hey, this is worth now $30,000. You know, she was willing to give all that she had to Jesus. She gave everything. The resource she had was limited. It wasn't an unlimited supply of manufacturing on this resource that she had. This is all Mary had to give. She kept it. She kept it for a reason, because there might be some hard times coming. There might be some rainy days. There might be some times where she needed to sell this thing to take care of the family. And she kept it, but yet she gave all she had to Jesus. You see, Mary, during this time, you have to understand that it's 6 days before the time that Jesus would get to Jerusalem and die for us, for our sins. The time is happening. Mary comes, and Mary couldn't do anything about certain things. She couldn't get the Jewish leaders from falsely accusing him. She couldn't get the soldiers from crucifying him. She couldn't get the people from mocking him. She couldn't do it, but she can do one thing. She can show her love and devotion to our Savior by sacrificing the alabaster box. The alabaster box that she possessed. You may be sitting here this evening and you might say to yourself, I can't teach. And I can't preach. And I can't do this here at the church. And I can't jump on a bus route. And I can't play the piano or be in the orchestra or sing in the choir. And I can't and I can't and I can't. How about we stop thinking about what you can't and start thinking what you can? You see, the way things work is this. She can't control certain things, but she can do something. So what if you can't teach? So what if you can't preach? Not everybody are meant to teach or preach, but you can call somebody. This Saturday, you can call somebody and say, would you like to go to church with me? This Saturday, you can go on a visit with Brother Nate at a hospital visit. We have people in the hospital. You can go on a visit. You say, but I can't sing. Oh, you can jump on a bus route. And you can pass out some candies. You can do something. You see, she just gave all that she had here. And see, there was a reason why she gave all of her resources. There's the reason why in John chapter 12, we're going to read again in John chapter 12 on the reason why. It says here in verse number 3, let's start with verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, her brother, was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. You see, there were some things that happened here. And as things that happened, before she gave this ointment to Jesus, something happened here.
Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with odor of ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? I want you to look here. I want you to look what happened. In Mark chapter 14, if maybe we go there real fast, in Mark chapter 14, it's the same story, but in the book of Mark. I want you to see what happened here in the book of Mark. In verse number 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there was some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was the waste of this ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and then given to the poor. And they murmured against her. You see, Mary, at this moment, the disciples, there were 17 people in that room. There was Simon the leper. There was Mary. Remember, the leper that Jesus healed. There was Mary. There was Martha. There was Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. Was in that. Jesus was in there. And the 12 disciples, they were all in there. And the disciples were saying to Mary, why are you doing that? I could see how Mary, how she felt hurt. And she said, this is all I have. This is all I have. This is all I have to give. I can see her hurt going, why would you say that to me, disciples? Judas, why would you say that to me? Because you understand, the disciples, while they're criticizing her, they didn't understand why they were criticizing her. You see, don't criticize Mary. Because Mary, at one time, she sat at the feet of Jesus while everybody was busy serving. And Mary sat there and asked the question, Jesus, how do I get my life together? Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. We don't know what happened while she was at the feet of Jesus in Luke chapter 11. But she was sitting with Jesus, getting to know him, and she saw a miracle. And then in John chapter 11, she saw another miracle. She said, Jesus, come and save my brother. Raise him from the dead. And she saw the miracle. And then after that, she came back and said, I'm going to come back to Jesus' feet and I'm going to anoint him with oil. You see, don't criticize Mary. Mary had a miracle that you have never experienced. Between you and I have miracles that you have never experienced. You have miracles in your life that I have never experienced. I don't have the time to criticize you, nor you have the time to criticize me. I only have the time to say, praise the Lord for what he's done in your life. I've always said, a changed life is the loudest amen. And you see, we don't need a lot of people shouting amen. We just need to see some changed lives in this room. And you see, what happened is this, is we're getting so caught up like the disciples. Hey, why are you getting so fired up from singing? Why are you so happy in church? Why are you so fired up that your sister's in church today? Why are you so fired up that a bus family's in church today? Why are you singing with a smile? We start criticizing because somebody is happy for Jesus. You know why they're happy for Jesus? Because they sat at the feet of Jesus and he showed them some miracles. They might not be able to explain it to you. You see, on a Sunday when I'm looking for people to help, I'm not looking to see whether the skirt is too high. I'm not looking to see whether the tie is straight. I'm not looking to see whether they're talking like me and dressing like me and looking like me and having the same haircut like me. I'm looking to help people for Jesus. Because we get so caught up to serve that we forget to just be at the feet of Jesus. And then we become like the disciples. You see, but I want you to see I want you to see the response, what happened here. In verse number, again, in John chapter 12, look at the response, what happened. So Judas said this, why was not the ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And he said, not that he cared for the poor. This is what he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear that was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing, has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. You see, Jesus knew he was going to die. Jesus knew that the time was to come. So something happened. It revealed the true motive of Judas. You see what happened in verse number four. One of the disciples, Judas, what did he say? He said, why? Why would you give all that you have to Jesus? We could have taken that and we could have sold it. You see, you have to understand, Judas was a treasurer. He's the one that was going to get all the money. It was going to be put in his wallet, and then he was going to spend it. You see, he didn't care about the poor. He didn't care about the ones that was less fortunate. He just cared about himself. He just cared about himself. Yeah. So when you look at this right here, what happened? One person, just one person, when he started to do what he did to Mary, the disciple, because of that, the disciple, they didn't know about his true colors, his true character. So they started criticizing her as well. Be very careful who you're around. Be very careful for the people who criticize the things in this church. Be very careful of the people who criticize the bus captains. Be very careful who criticize the people who are singing up here. Be very careful of the people who criticize the nursery workers. Praise the Lord for the nursery workers, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, I'm telling you right now, if we had little boys and girls in here right now, it'll be trouble. Man, I am all for the nursery, all right? Okay? Stay away from that. Stay away from the ones that criticize the pastor. Stay away from the ones that criticize the staff and the church members. Because see, the disciples, while they were around him, one person opened up his mouth and criticized what she did for Jesus. And then the rest of them started criticizing as well. You see, right here, it opened up the true character of Judas. And just a couple of verses away, what did Judas do? Judas left and Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. It's all about Jesus. The people who criticize the things that what people do at the church, that's all I have. The ones that criticize. The ones that say, hey, look, she's not like us. She shouldn't be wanted in this church. He shouldn't be wanted in the church because they're her dress standards. Because she maybe goes to the movies. Because maybe she watched certain things and listened to certain things. You see, Jesus doesn't care about those things. He just wants somebody who just give their life to God and let God deal with it. Yes. You see, this is Jesus' church, not my church. Yeah. I want to protect it as much as I can. I want to make sure that the people are here, that as you're around me, here it is. If you give that to God, that's all that matters. Because some of you might have more than I have. Some of you might have less than I have. So as we look at this thing, we see what happened here. We see the response. We know the real reason why Judas sold him. We know the real reason why he complained. But you know what? That's awesome about the whole thing. It also changes the response here. Her act and love and worship made a big statement, a huge statement. I want you to go for one last thing, and I promise, in Luke chapter 11, we're done. We're in perfect timing. Look what happened here. The Bible says in Mark chapter 14, it says here that Jesus said, for ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye may do them good, but ye have not, but me ye have not always. She has done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for memorial for her. Amen. You see? All around the world, people are talking about this ointment, this alabaster box. All around the world. Just give all you got. Just give as Brother Nick preached, give your best. Just give it. You see, when she gave that act of love and worship, she gave a big statement, because when she gave this, the ointment was only for four different classes. It was made for the king. An ointment's made for the king. It's made for the priests. It's made for the prophets. And it's made for the dead. All four of them is Jesus Christ. She knew that I needed to give it to a king. I needed to give it to a priest. I needed to give it to a prophet. And I needed to give it to someone that's going to die and rise up again. She gave the ointment. Boys and girls, listen. Give this ointment. Give this alabaster box. Who cares what other people say? Who cares if they say you look weird? Who cares if they say, hey, you look like a Christian boy, and you look like a Christian girl, and church boy and church girl? Older people here. Who cares what people say at work? If they say, look at him and look at her, they stand up for God. It doesn't matter, because all that matters is one thing. Am I giving everything to God? I'll end with this question, and that's it. What are your resources? What can you give to God? What's the reason why you want to give the sacrifice? What's the response going to be, and how is it going to be triggered? What is Jesus worth to you? To Mary, he was worth everything. To Judas, he was worth 30 pieces of silver. Yeah. Are you going to sell out? Are you going to sell Jesus for whatever it is that you have? Or are you just going to give it to God tonight? I pray and I hope that today we follow Mary's example. If we do that, I wonder what kind of church we'll be. I wonder what kind of home we'll have. I wonder what kind of family we'll have. I wonder what kind of employees we'll be. So I pray and hope that we follow Mary's example. This is not something that I want to discourage anybody about. I just want to encourage you. Just give your whole life to God. I don't know what it is. You know, Isaiah said, "Hear my Lord, send me." Just give your life to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.